The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm like you. I'm probably a little sullen. I'll never forget when Mike Jorgensen, Tim Foley, and Ken Singleton were traded to the Montreal Expos for Rusty Staub. My mother picked me up at school, and I cried in the back seat of the car. Not kidding. When I saw it today, I got off the plane from Washington, D.C., and I landed at LaGuardia, and so I had to go right past City Park Field, and they had a big sign up, Rusty Staub in memoriam. And what was it, 1944 to 2018, I think, is what his birth date was.
Yeah, he would have been 74 on April 1st.
Yeah, so they had that up on the screen. But one of my greatest memories as a young kid growing up in Montreal was going to Expos games and watching, you know, Rusty play and John Bacabella and Coco LeBoy and so many of the other great original. Claude Raymond, you're going to have him on.
Yep.
You know, a great relief pitcher. I mean, so many good things, but thoughts. But for Rusty Staub was the iconic baseball player in Montreal at the time. He really was.
Yeah, he was. We were all crushed when he was traded for the three guys that you mentioned. I just learned something about Tim Foley, Pierre, that I hadn't known before. Bill, say hello to Pierre.
Pierre, my condolences too, because. You know, it's Le Grand Orange. The flag should be half mast in this province for a week because he spread Montrealism all over the world. That's the whole way I look at it. A joy of food and baseball, and it's like New Orleans is, you know, les Cajuns, les habitants. They're the two cities, and he just represented them both.
That's so well said. I completely agree with that, Bill. You know, the biggest thing is, when you're a young person, you have people that kind of formulate your ideology.
Yes.
And he was a guy that was one of those athletes that never caused problems. You know, he was one of those guys that he always smiled. He'd always autograph. I remember Ron Hunt. Ron Hunt would always get hit by baseballs, and then he'd come over and he'd sign them, you know, like for kids. I remember that clear as day, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. Rusty had pretty cool.
And Timmy Foley was coached by my dad in Little League, and that's how Foley got his start.
That's amazing. And that is an amazing. See, I didn't even know you were there, Bill, but that's amazing.
And probably his temperament, too.
So where was this, in California?
This was, yeah, for the when I left the Colts and the Dodgers in Little League, Tim Foley came in and played with my brother, and my dad coached him for 2 years, and his father was just relentless with him, and my dad just tried to keep the kid away from his father because he knew there were going to be problems.
Yeah, he had a long, productive career, but he had a bad, bad temper. Just before we move to hockey, Pierre, one other thing I wanted to mention about Rusty, in case I forget. He looked great. He had a ton of talent. He was a perennial all-star. He had that French flair about him from New Orleans. So you had this perfect mix of a brand new team with a genuine star who had a ton of charisma and fit perfectly in Montreal. He was also a very principled guy. He was among a group of players in Major League Baseball, several of them with the Astros, who did not play in the aftermath of the assassination of Robert Kennedy, which was in early June of 1968, just a couple of months after Martin Luther King had been killed. And they thought that those back-to-back blows were just too much for some of them to go on the field and play. And that was the beginning of the end of him in Houston
really?
With the front office. Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep.
Consider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I had heard that story. I didn't know it to be factual. I thought it might have been urban legend. But to hear you say it, I don't doubt it. You know, it was interesting, too. Bill, you'll appreciate this. When you play, people that aren't involved in pro sports, they kind of don't understand. You're kind of a nomad. You're a transient. You might play in a city, but you live in another city. So you're always looking for quick ways to do business. I remember Rusty would always shop. In the old days, there was a Dominion. If you remember Westmount Square,
yes.
There was a Dominion shopping center with Alexis Neon in Westmount Square, where people could go and shop underground. And word got out on the street that Rusty used to shop there. So I used to sneak in there to see if we could see him shopping.
I think he lived upstairs.
He did.
He very well may have, but I'm just telling you, we used to go to that Dominion store to see if we could see him shopping.
Well, you have seen... You've seen John McHale walking from his apartment right back down to Mesa Neuve to that mall, too. Everybody lived there. I lived on Lansdowne Street. I rented a house there. We all loved it.
McHale used to eat breakfast at the Chez Nick's, which is still there on Green Avenue.
Yeah,
that's
where
every day he had breakfast.
A legendary spot, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Pierre, let's get to a couple of items locally before we talk about your game last night and a few other items. A lot of people were waiting, hoping, not you. I know you weren't one of them. Carey Price today was asked if you'd like to play for Team Canada.
Yes, I'm not going to be gone.
What was the main reason why you sent
here? I'm going to spend time with my family. Yeah.
Carey, what would you say to the people that say he should go there? Why not play in those games? I mean, does it really matter?
Because I'm going to go spend time with my family.
All right. And believe it or not, he had to answer it a third time to explain that he wants to spend time with his young family. So you don't have to worry personally that Carey Price will get hurt.
No, I think it's great. It's a great decision by him. He doesn't need it. Those games mean nothing, especially in Olympic years. They mean absolutely nothing. So it's great. Now he can focus on his family and training and getting better and being ready for next year. That's going to be the critically important thing. If Montreal even tries to make a playoff push next year in hockey, he'll have to be their best player, and he'll have to start 60 games at least.
And Brendan Gallagher?
They asked yesterday. I won't be going this year. Body's a little banged up here, but... it was, you know, when I went, it was a lot of fun. I had a great experience. It was obviously a huge honor to represent Canada, but I think for me this year, it's best for me to take care of my body and, just start my training right away and then get ready for next year.
All right.
Sorry?
Was it a hard
time? It was, it's never easy to say no to talking Canada. You don't know how many chances you're going to get. And like I said, I went the one time and had an awesome experience. You know, we were able to win. That's a memory that I'm pretty proud of, but... You know, I think first and foremost, you know, my obligations are to the Montreal Canadiens here, and you got to take care of your body and make sure that I'm ready to go 100% next year.
All right. Again, I don't think anybody would have an issue with that. Although, selfishly speaking, it's going to be less interesting for a lot of us in Montreal without Brendan Gallagher.
Perfect. Let the games next year be interesting. You have baseball starting. You have hockey playoffs starting. I'm so happy to hear that. That's a guy that cares about his organization, cares about his future, cares about the future of the organization, is a committed player to the Montreal Canadiens. Perfect. Well done.
I'm curious, is there any communication between a club team and the coaching staff for Hockey Canada when they want to get one of your players to go or one of your players is chosen to go, Pierre? Or is it just up to Hockey Canada, how much ice time they get, where they play, and all that?
No, there's a lot of communication. There's a ton of communication. The problem is that they want you, if they want you, I should say. If they want you, they're not going to take orders from you as an organization how much your guy's going to play. So once you commit the player and the player commits, then you're basically at their beck and call. You're at their mercy. But there are no ground. I have never heard. In all the years I've been doing, I've never heard of ground rules being set out and teams, you know, basically saying, you'll do this or my guy's not going. I've never heard of that.
So, Pierre, obviously the two guys, Carey Price wants to be with his family, good reason. Gallagher wants to take care of his health, good reason not to go. What about the two guys who might go? They said today Jonathan Drouin, he's waiting to be formally asked, but he's interested. Same with Alex Galchenyuk with the Americans. For those two guys, Drouin and Galchenyuk, what kind of benefit do you think they could get from going to the World Hockey Championship?
Was it last week, Mitch Gallo, that I said those are the two guys that need to go?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I said that. The other guys don't need to go. Those two guys need to go. Drouin doesn't have virtually no playoff experience. Galchenyuk, same thing, virtually no playoff experience. They need to play some hockey into May. They need to. They need to find out what it's like to play hockey in May. So absolutely, if they can go, they need to go. I'm shocked, quite frankly, that Drouin hasn't been asked yet. That tells me that it's what we've talked about. He had a very underwhelming season. Very underwhelming.
Well, not lately, though. Underwhelming, absolutely. There's no hiding that. But he is, you would think if this is when all the eyes are on him and they're making decisions. Well, now, clearly there's a pecking order, right, Pierre?
Well, there is.
You'd rather have Gallagher on the team than Drouin. And if Gallagher says no, and maybe a couple of other forwards say no, eventually you get down to Drouin's spot.
No, that's fair. But again, if he were, you know, a surefire pick, he would have already been asked. That's my point. So, yes, he's been much better lately. I totally concur. But his season was unbelievably underwhelming.
Pierre, I can't help but think of the optics if Jonathan Drouin plays 81 and a half games at center for the Canadiens and then goes to the World Hockey Championship and plays left wing.
Doesn't matter. Just have him playing. I understand the optical part of it, but it doesn't matter. He needs to play. He does. This would be tremendous if he were to be asked to play. It'd be great for his development. It really would be.
About 23 hours ago on this show, your good friend Gord Miller.
You know, I think Montreal is the leading contender. I really do. If he leaves the Islanders, I would think Montreal is the number one contender.
Why?
Well, first of all, if you're going to leave, you want to go to a team that gives you a chance to be better, right? The teams that are above the Islanders in the standings, Tampa's not can't afford them. Boston can't afford them, right? The Penguins can't afford them. Who's got the best chance to be better right away? Well, if Carey Price is healthy, if Shea Weber's healthy, and he's their number one center, they've got a good chance to be better.
Pierre?
Does he know Toronto's in the league?
Well, I'm assuming, did Gord mention Toronto or not? I don't remember if he did or not.
Not on that soundbite, he didn't.
Okay, so Toronto, his hometown. You've mentioned Buffalo, Detroit.
They'll find a way to make room for him, I'll tell you that.
Well, especially if they don't get as far as they are hoping to get, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I would say the Buffalo Sabres would be in that mix. I would say the Detroit Red Wings. Two teams that I told you about over a year ago. Yeah. Buffalo and Detroit scare me because I think they're going to be in there full blast, both those teams.
Now, what about the Rangers?
Well, they might be because they're going to have plenty of cap room. But I knowing John,
yeah,
I can't see him doing that to the Islanders. He's an amazingly passionate guy and a loyal guy. I can't see him doing that to the Islanders. I could see him leaving, but I can't see him going to the Rangers. I just can't.
Now, I mentioned earlier in the show that I'd revisit this topic because Mitch Gallo here was suggesting that vis-a-vis the Canadiens versus the Rangers. Go ahead.
Well, I just said that if I'm John Tavares and I'm looking at the Canadiens or Rangers, I see more established star players in Montreal than in New York right now.
That's going to change pretty quick. Just telling you. I'm warning you in advance. That's going to change pretty quick. They have an overabundance of youth coming through their organization. Philip Hedl's going to be a tremendous talent down the middle. They're playing him in the right position. Elias Anderson's going to be a tremendous talent. Neil Pionk's going to be a really good player on the back end. They've got an overabundance of draft picks. That's not going to last that way for long, I'll tell you that.
All right, back to Toronto for a second. Freddie Anderson with 30 saves last night, a costly loss for Florida with the game in hand. It was a tough possibility of getting 2 points in Toronto anyway. Should there be any concern in Toronto about the fact that Freddie Anderson has played 64 games?
Yes, he was starting to break down, absolutely. And you know what, if you look at some of the nights that he played in those 64 games, he was facing over 40 shots, 37 to 44 shots a game. That's not easy to do. And a lot of those are not just routine saves from the outside. There's a lot of stress on a lot of those opportunities against him. Their defense, if they have one flaw right now as an organization, they're missing an elite shutdown defenseman. Ron Hainsey's a nice player. He is, and Ron's done some really good things there. But you wouldn't qualify him as an elite shutdown defenseman for a playoff team that's going to win the cup. So that's the problem that they're facing right now. They don't have that one elite shutdown guy.
They were showing a ton of speed, though, in that game last night. And watching Mitch Marner, I can't believe, and I know it's the way Babcock works, and maybe that's the reason why Marner is where he is now, but Marner has just been outstanding, Pierre. I can't think of too many guys who run a power play better than him.
No, well, Backstrom in Washington's one. Datsyuk in Detroit when he was there is another. Kopitar in L.A. would be another. Talking about a forward running a power play. I agree with you, though. Crosby's not bad in Pittsburgh. So, no, you're not wrong on that. But what Mike did for this player is he taught him how to be a pro while playing in the NHL. You ask Bill Lee, baseball players don't learn how to be major league players in Major League Baseball. They learn in A-ball, in the New York Penn League. They learn in Double-A. They learn in Triple-A. Then they get a sniff. It's different in our league. We're always rushing guys.
You started learning from Rod Dedeau.
I learned from Aunt Annabelle.
Oh, right. She's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she is.
Annabelle Lee.
My aunt was a four-pitch pitcher. I was a four-pitch pitcher when I was nine. I was a pitcher. I was never a thrower.
But you did climb the ladder. You spent time.
I got stronger. I got bigger. And then I could throw the ball by people when I had to. But
no, I mean you climbed the ladder up to the majors.
I only was in the minor leagues 2 months.
Oh, really?
3 months. Yeah, I signed in 68.
Did you go right from Double A?
No, I went from Waterloo, Iowa. I was benched by Rack Slider, said I couldn't play in this league, and then they gave me the ball, and I went out and threw a one-hitter, retired 27 in a row after giving up a hit and picking the guy up first. I said, bye-bye, Rack, and I said, there is one thing. I shouldn't be in this league. I should be in another league. Then I went out and threw another one-hitter, my first game with Bill Slack, and then I went to Double A. And was within less than a year, I was in the big leagues.
There you go. But you spent how many years at playing for Rod Dedeau?
4 years.
4 years at university.
You were at USC just steamrolling people at a major program at a time when that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I wrote a poem about Rusty Staub today and about mind your body never lies, your mind lies, and that's what basically killed him, and the fact that Rod Dedeau said, cut your head off, Tiger, let your body do the work. And when you do that, you're a much better athlete.
Isn't that the best advice any coach can give, Pierre?
Oh, yeah, because most athletes get, paralyzed by analyzing. You know, they really do. I totally love that, Bill. That's awesome.
Yeah, cut your head off, let your body do the work. You know, and it's called, the thing is, the left hand and the right hand never get together because of the corpus callosum. You know where that is, don't you?
No, sir, you're going too deep now.
Oh, it's the center of your brain between the left and right hemisphere. And it's corpus, which is body, and collusium. So it's collusion against your body. Therefore, cut your head off, Tiger.
I love it when you go too deep for Pierre Maguire. I love that. Pierre, before we wrap it up, come on.
Yeah. And Kuznetsov will jump on it. Here he comes, Evgeny Kuznetsov. The caps are changing. He delays. He'll fake it to the outside. He scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov wins it in overtime!
It's NBC Sports rivalry night. That's where Pierre was. And if you're a Capitals fan, you expect Kuznetsov to do this since he's been back. Lars Eller forced overtime with a late goal. The only question you're asking right now as a Caps fan is, how did Braden Holtby look?
Solid, really solid. In fact, maybe one of the better performances he had this year. The Rangers tested them. Wasn't an A effort from Washington, but their goalie definitely gave an A effort. He was very good.
All right. And we played Pierre Maguire on Dave Jackson last night, and he was very moved by what you had to say about him. He said it was very kind. And he is working his last game in a few hours tonight. Arizona is in Los Angeles.
You know, I did my 1,000th game in Montreal. I did my 1,500th in Denver. And over the years, I've done a ton of games in L.A. And I met my wife in L.A. Like, she's a L.A. native. She knows a lot of people out here, as do I. I've made friends with people through her. And it's closer to home and the weather's nicer.
Dave.
Hey, Bill, tell the truth. The weather is nicer.
No kidding. Every day is the same. 72 gray whales going up the coast and bikinis and volleyball.
What a spandex.
Oh,
LA,
my
huh?
gosh. Is his wife's a native Southern Californian?
Yeah, they
should. Can I get her enchilada recipe?
Pierre, he was really, I mentioned he was very moved. He didn't get into specifics, but he said when he was down in the dumps for a bit, he heard from you and it meant a lot.
Well, he's somebody that I respected, you know, when I was coaching the league in particular, he was just starting out. And, you know, back in those, you could get pretty demonstrative with guys, but he was always fair. He was a straight shooter. He'd come by the bench, he'd talk to you, explain. He didn't get animated, he didn't curse and swear at you. He was a pure gentleman when he officiated. And I watched him over time. And one of the things I really appreciated, we'd get together in different cities because you're kind of, when you're broadcasting on the national level, you're kind of like a referee. You have no home games. So you kind of travel together, you eat together, you hang out together. So we talked about more than hockey. And the one thing that always stood out about Dave, kind person, very cerebral, and more than anything else, really passionate about trying to be the best he could be. I always appreciated that about him.
Final game on the schedule tonight is Dave Jackson's final game as an NHL referee, Arizona against the Kings in L.A. Thanks so much, Pierre. Greatly appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Oh, man. I wish I could be in Montreal now just to hang with you and Bill. That could be trouble.
Well, we're going to have a pretty good party for Rusty Le Grand Orange. You know, we play at wakes and weddings and every fancy ball, but when we play at funerals, we play the best of all. McCarthy pumps the old kazoo. You're an Irishman. Half. Let's go.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye, Pierre.